First Baptist Church of Redmond, April 22nd, 2018. Know Jesus Seeks Sinners.
Please stand and join me in reading today's scripture. Luke 19:9 through 10. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Thank you. Please be seated.
Today's story is going to be one of the most familiar ones from the entire Bible, one of the most familiar ones from the Gospel of Luke. It's the story of Jesus meeting Zacchaeus. Sometimes people will seek after or look for something. Sometimes something looks for them. There's a story about a little Virginia town where people were surprised last month, March 2018, by a coordinated campaign, a coordinated effort by a large multinational company to identify and woo one of its local teenagers. Well, Carnival Cruise Lines, that's a Carnival cruise ship, Carnival Cruise Lines, posted signs all over this Virginia town, and they had augmented their effort with a rolling billboard on a truck. And they were looking for someone. They had identified, through some web research, that an individual who had the distinctive Twitter handle at Carnival Cruise lived in that town. And they wanted to get that at Carnival Cruise from that person into their name for them to be able to use. So they even, if you've seen the commercials, they have Shaquille O'Neal on some of their commercials. They even had a special photo op with Shaquille O'Neal, whose picture was placed on some text with the rolling billboard that said, "Does anybody know Darian?" Because Twitter had helped them identify a young man named Darian Lipscomb, who was 15 years old, who had the Twitter handle at Carnival Cruises. His parents had taken Carnival Cruise for vacation for several years, and he liked it so much that he used that as his Twitter handle, and it was his Snapchat handle as well, where he would take pictures from the cruise and share with his friends. Finally, everybody connected, and they surprised Darian Lipscomb by offering him in exchange for at Carnival Cruise. They would do an all-expenses-paid cruise from there in Virginia to Barcelona for he and his family among their newest ship, Carnival Horizon, with the retail value, they said it was about $5,000. They said, "We thought this would be a fun way to claim our handle and reward a super fan at the same time," said Robin Fink, a spokesperson for Carnival, who referred to the trip as a once-in-a-lifetime experience. We like to think that we seek after God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, however, that we don't really seek after God. There is none that seeks after God. When you encounter people who are starting to ask questions and wonder things, when those kind of things come up in our mind, what that is the Holy Spirit beginning to work in their hearts and their minds. Because the Holy Spirit begins to communicate to that person, generally through people. One of the values of speaking Scripture, looking at Scripture, is the Holy Spirit, I think, tends to use Scripture in our hearts and our minds to make us think, to lead us, to guide us, to bring verses to our minds so that God can direct, challenge, confront, build, encourage us. So we like to think that God is out there for us to seek and find, but so often God is the one that comes, hunts, chases, and finds us. Our story takes place in one of the most famous cities in world history, Jericho. Never been to Jericho, but this picture is commonly, when I looked on Jericho city websites, this picture is there, the oldest city of the world. Is it? I don't really know, I'm not sure. But it is a city that has been constantly inhabited for a very, very long time. It was seen as, in the days of Jesus, first century, Jericho was a little paradise. Jericho is a place where if you were successful, if you had enough money to take care of your family, you could save for the future, you'd try to get a house in Jericho. whatever that would be today. If you wanted to go live in the Bahamas, or I'm going to go here, go there. If you're an Israeli, wanted to live near Jerusalem, you got a place in Jericho. It was famous for its palm trees. The palm trees in the background. Oftentimes you'll see palms, dates coming from Jericho. It had rose gardens that were planted. It was very pretty. People could have a nice wafting odor as you would walk through in the summer. Herod the Great, as a matter of fact, decided that he would build his winter palace there with a hippodrome. Mark Antony gave Jericho to Cleopatra. She never came to get it. But he gave it to her as a sign of his love for her, named her the mayor, the manager. You'll hear, there's even a hymn in our hymnal, there is a balm, B-A-L-M, not B-O-M-B. There is a balm in Gilead. Jericho is also famous for its balsam trees, and people would take the leaves, some of the young branches, they would crush them together, mix them into a powder, they would excrete a sap, they would blend that, and Josephus, ancient historian, said that this balsam would produce the most precious thing that there is. This thick, oily cream would be fragrant, soothing, and you would use it if you didn't feel good. If you had a bump, I wonder if they would use it if you had a histamine reaction. Maybe I should have got some balm from Gilead. But people would have this in their house, in their shop. Oh, did you run? I used all the balm. We need to go get some more. We need to get some more Jericho balm of Gilead. Popular. How's it come in our story? Why are we talking about this? It was expensive. It wasn't from the dollar store balm from Gilead. It was a Whole Foods, Macy's balm from Gilead. So people would buy it, and you're in Roman territory. It's going to be taxed. And apparently this has been noted as a way that the Roman government was enhancing its coffers, is this balm was expensive and would be particularly taxed as a luxury item, and so it brought in cash for the local government. We just played this. Ready? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Come on, get into it, lose it. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. You're not singing. And when the Savior... That's better. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there. For I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. One more part. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but a happy man was he. For he had seen the Lord that day, and a happy man was he. And a happy man was he. Good job! Thanks for being good sports. You were good sports today. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. This is the only time in your New Testament someone is described as a chief tax collector. You know the story about a quote-unquote publican, a tax collector? You were seeking that position from the Roman government. I would like to be the tax collector. To be the tax collector, I know that sometimes people will do cosmetology, they'll do hair or nails and things like that, and you don't get a chair, you rent a chair, yes? And you rent the chair for so much. So you have to have business. You have to be active. If you are going to be a tax collector, you would sign up and promise that you would give X amount of money to the Romans every year. So you had, that was your motivation, you had to go out and collect taxes from people. And the point was, as long as you paid the Romans your contract rate, any additional money you collected was yours. This is why tax collectors were A, generally rich, B, seen as filthy liars and thieves. Because they would go to, your tax bill is due. Oh, I paid already. You don't realize your taxes are higher this year. Do you think it costs any less? Look at the safety you have. Look at the problems you have. You need the Roman government's help. You need us to demonstrate that you've paid your taxes. You don't want the centurions to come over and bring the troops and put you in debtor's prison because I say you didn't pay your taxes, did you? And so they would do anything, and they had Roman imprimatur. They had the power of Caesar to collect money from you. They could bring Roman soldiers with them to rifle through your house and look in your couch for spare change. They would do anything, then they could do anything to get the amount that they could extract from you. Judea, Palestine, was broken up into three districts. Caesarea was the center of one district. Capernaum was the center of the north district. And here, by the river, was the third district headquartered in Jericho. So this tells us Zacchaeus was one of the three chief tax collectors for this Roman province. So forgive me, think mafia. If you're the local guy, you get some money from your extortion business, from running numbers, you kick it up high. So Zacchaeus could influence who or who was not was a local tax collector. If you wanted your job, you sent him some skim. Picture Frank Sinatra with his bag going back and forth from Cuba in the late 1950s. People would come to Zacchaeus with a bag, probably regularly. Oh, Zacchaeus, I'm glad I have my job. And he would, yes, you can keep your job again, boy. So this is what's going on. This is exactly the setting. This is how the tax collectors worked. They were essentially Jewish mafia. That's what they were doing. They were collecting from their countrymen to keep what they could and pass on to the Romans to keep the Romans happy so there would not be a tax revolt. So this is the man who, for some reason, was interested in meeting Jesus. Verse 3, he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. There's a lot that Luke does not include in this story. So for whatever reason, Zacchaeus is very interested in seeing Jesus. Part of the reason is people, I'm sure, knew who Jesus' followers were. Matthew Levi, maybe he worked for him. Now, he was up by Capernaum, so he probably worked in that tax district. But very possibly people knew that a former tax collector, he runs around with Jesus now. He does amazing, miraculous things. He's one of that close group. What would Jesus have that would interest him? Now, we know that he's interested because he works very hard. And by the way, wealthy people, don't they normally have a little bit of pride? Yes? So Jesus' travels were not necessarily advanced news for several days. Where is he going? What is he doing? Remember, people are trying to kill him. People are looking for him. So he just travels according to his plan and lets people find him. So Jesus had gone to Jericho, had walked through. Remember, previously we had seen the story about a man being healed. And now as Jesus is going through, he encounters Zacchaeus as he's walked through Jericho. Zacchaeus very likely did not know that he was coming. And when he heard Jesus was coming, he thinks, I have to go see him. These trees that he was climbing into, a sycamore fig tree, had a lot of branches out low. If you ever, we used to live in Central California, if you ever look, fig trees, it looks like if you took a tree out of the ground and put it in upside down with the big root structure, that's what a fig tree looks like. So the fig trees were, the branches were off low to the ground, branch out a lot, go kind of wide, kind of high, be strong. So he could have easily hopped up in a branch. It's not like trying to climb one of these cedar trees where you've got to get up 50 feet first. He could hop up and just work his way up. So the richest guy in town was willing to humble himself by climbing a tree to have an eagle-eye view of this Jesus who is coming through town. Now, other people, I'm sure, were climbing trees too. Very likely the young, yes. When was the last time you climbed a tree? Okay, so here is Zacchaeus, who I'm sure was not a child, who humbled himself because he wanted to see. And what happens? Remember our story with the Carnival Cruise Line? Zacchaeus came out to look for Jesus, but as Jesus walks by, he stops and looks in the tree. There's probably many other people. Jericho was, again, a wooded area, known for these kinds of trees, bush, flowers. And so a lot of people were climbing, but of all the people that are there, Jesus looks up. Zacchaeus, as the song says, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. It was not unusual for someone to host a guest coming through town. We had mentioned last week when we looked at the healing that no one seems to have invited Jesus to stay in their house as he walked through Jericho for whatever reason. So now he says, Zacchaeus, thanks for putting us up for the night, the boys and me. So even though Zacchaeus, in his mind, is the one who came out with the interest, Jesus takes the initiative. Notice, he didn't ask if it was convenient. Zacchaeus, do you have room for us? Now, some things are assumed in this story. Since Zacchaeus was one of the three, he probably had enough room for guests. Feeding him at the last moment would not have been an inconvenience. Jesus does no miracles with bread and fish to produce dinner that night, correct? So Jesus knows that if anybody would not be inconvenienced to host him and his traveling group of around two dozen, we've guessed, it must be Zacchaeus. And by the way, I'm staying, you're not going to put me up someplace, I'm staying at your place. Now Zacchaeus, he was a happy guy, because he had wanted to meet Jesus. And perhaps never before had Zacchaeus run with joy down from a tree so fast to go to his house. This seems to have surprised everyone. Zacchaeus, no complaint, no murmuring, no whatever. He's going. Imagine when we see the salvation of Matthew Levi, when he was joined to the disciples. Jesus said, follow me. He threw a meal for Jesus. Jesus is essentially telling Zacchaeus to do that for him right now. But Matthew, of his own free will, threw a meal for Jesus, sold many of his things, provided funds for people in the town, admitted that he had been a thief for most of his life, skimming off the public trough, and he himself committed to repaying what was stolen, to giving back what he had incorrectly taken, that he was going to make things right. So Matthew did this of his own accord, seemingly without direction from Jesus. Zacchaeus, who was a much more successful thief. I always tell my children, we look at politics, who's this and who's that, that remember, the Antichrist is a politician. So we've got a guy who here is the next best thing to a politician. See, when the crowd saw this, everybody want to talk to Jesus. Everyone want to see him. Remember, different times Jesus would pass through. Will you please take my child? Will you pray for my child? Kiss my child? Will you give me some words of peace, some comfort? Sometimes there was somebody who was sick, needed to be healed. They would want to press the flesh with Jesus. Jesus walked through town. He just healed somebody. And seemingly on his way back into town, whose house does he choose to stay in? He chooses to stay at this biggest thief in town's house. Like going to stay, I'm going to Chicago, I'm going to stay at Al Capone's house. Mr. Capone, get my room ready. The murmuring started where the tree stood, as soon as Jesus had selected Zacchaeus for his house. I thought this was interesting. He's going to stay as a guest. It's a form of the word that means to untie something, to loose, like to loose your shoes. Because the custom was, if you were going to lodge with someone, you would have an animal, because you're traveling a distance. You're either on the animal or your animal's a pack animal. And you would bring your animal, you would unhook it from your cart that you would have it carrying things, and then you would tie the animal, releasing it from the cart and tie it to, like I think the Western scenes where you'd have that little piece of wood out in front, you would tie your animal up for the night. That was just an interesting observation I was looking at. But they complained. He is gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And when they describe him as a sinner, they're describing him as an open sinner. Someone that there is no doubt. Sometimes at night I watch Forensic Files, who did it, who committed the crime. there would be no doubt who committed the crime. Who is rich? Zacchaeus. Why? He took other people's money. He took more than he should have. He took money from the widow. He took money from the orphan. He took money from the businessman. He took money as he's walking down the street and thought he could get some coins out of your pocket. Oh, you forgot to pay this excise tax. Oh, you don't have this stamp on your document, we would have said in the early days of the revolutionary history. He was an open sinner. Not just because he worked for the government, ha ha ha, but because tax collectors, again, notorious thieves, especially of the poor, balancing their tax bills against people who had no power. Some think that the public saw a double standard from Jesus, that some people will write, this isn't correct because of the verse we see on the side, that he never per se ordered the tax collectors to drop their business. Now, Matthew Levi stopped being a tax collector. We don't know what happened to Zacchaeus after this. Hopefully he was an honest government official. But he did tell people to pay their taxes. He sent Peter fishing to get their tax money. But in Luke chapter 3, earlier in this book, when people were coming, "Master, what shall we do?" He said to them, a response to the tax collectors, "Exact no more than which is appointed to you." In other words, don't be a thief. In the structure of a government, somebody's got to pay, and that is everybody. Somebody's got to pay. So Jesus saw there was a place for this profession, but the goal was to be honest. Do your business honestly. Do what you should do. Then Zacchaeus said to the Lord, "Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." Zacchaeus was a real sinner. Jesus saw him as such, and the people were right. It would have been improper for Jesus to stay and enrich his home if Zacchaeus would have been the same man when Jesus left as when Jesus came to him. Luke leaves a lot untold here. We don't have Jesus giving a gospel message. We don't have Zacchaeus bowing and saying, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." We don't see Zacchaeus ripping his clothes. Why? Luke is mostly done with his book now. We know what will have happened by what we see, because our conduct demonstrates what we believe, yes? And Jesus has frequently been demonstrating how when he comes to someone, that person changes. There must have been a conversation between verses 7 and 8, a lot of words that we don't see. Only the few saw, the angels saw, the disciples saw. What we see is the results. He is a new man with a new, forgiving heart, and who hears as a result of the new birth. What we have here is a man who is changed. How do you know? Some people might start a foundation, but they still keep most of the money, yes? I don't see anybody who started a foundation and goes down and rents a flat down by the old Redmond schoolhouse, yes? They still have a house someplace where they pay good property taxes, even if they have a lot to share. This man looked at his bank account and said, "Change has come to me. I understand that I have been a thief. I need to make things right." And as the story that Jesus tells about the person who going to the temple to give an offering, he stops and goes to talk to his friend, makes things right, and then continues to make his gift. Before he continues his life with Christ, he begins to see what he should have done. "Lord, I give half my goods to the poor." If you remember previous stories where people had come to Jesus, remember the self-made man we talked about? Places will call it the rich young ruler, but we called it the self-made man. "Oh Lord, I've done all the things I should. I've done everything right. The Pharisees have taught me how to justify all my actions. But how can I be guaranteed? I've guaranteed where I'm going to live. I've guaranteed I'm going to survive. I've guaranteed I never have to worry about anything else. How can I be guaranteed I never have to worry about eternal life?" Because that man was trusting in his success. And Jesus says, "Sell everything you have and give to the poor and follow me." And the guy put his head down and left because his goal had been to be successful. And following Jesus did not replace that goal. He could add Jesus, but he couldn't replace his things with Jesus. He needed both. Zacchaeus seems to have got the idea and done some replacing. And by the way, when somebody trusts Christ, in the mercy of God, hopefully it spreads to the family. Amen? Mom, dad, child trust Christ, and pretty soon the gospel spreads around. People have more contact with the truth. They see the gospel. They see some changes. The Holy Spirit starts to work on them. So today, salvation has come to this house. So seemingly more than one person has come to Christ. He refutes the murmuring of the crowd. So Zacchaeus, did he have some family, some friends, some co-workers? Were they all living with him? At least one, if not more, of his family. When Jesus came and spoke and they were encountered by the gospel and saw that dad had changed, husband had changed, they come to Christ as well. They will now join him on his trip to heaven. The whole house has changed because of the power of the gospel. For us. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This verse is how this section of this book ends. Zacchaeus is thinking about Jesus, but Jesus is the one seeking. And he reaches out by the gospel to save. The gospel is for those who have been and consequently still are lost. That's what that means. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are now, have been, and still are, and unless something happens, will be in a condition of being distant from God. So are there people distant from God? Yes, they are. What will make a difference? The gospel. You want to see people change? They need to hear the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day, and he was seen, 1 Corinthians 15. That's where Paul clearly states the four aspects of the gospel. Christ died. How do you know he died? He was buried. He rose. How do you know he was risen? He was seen. The four parts of the gospel, not just three, because the second is a proof of the first. This is the only power that truly changes and delivers. Good works don't earn salvation. But notice when these powerful people got saved, they responded. A believer does not want to do without good works. We were saved, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, we were saved to do good works. So good works don't save us, but once we're saved, we should be doing good things. He was feeding the poor. Why? Great need. A converted person is by definition a changed person. And his actions will change because he has a new nature. If someone says they're a believer and they still have the same issues they had before, you have to wonder. If you say you know Christ and there's no change, you have to wonder. Sometimes people are mistaken, and our nature needs to be demonstrated. There's a man named Nevis Coleman. He's been in the news recently. Nevis Coleman reserved his job as a groundskeeper for the Chicago White Sox. He resumed it because he had an unexpected hiatus that left him unavailable for work for 23 years. What had happened? In 1994, Nevis Coleman was charged and convicted of murder. He spent the next two decades behind bars until November 2017, when prosecutors vacated his conviction after re-examining the DNA evidence at the crime scene that should have ruled him out as a suspect. His DNA did not match that of the killer. Several months later, a Cook County judge granted Coleman a certificate, I guess they give you a certificate, of innocence, which officially cleared his name of all related charges. While maintaining a belief in his innocence, Coleman looked back fondly on the time he spent working with the White Sox, which to him felt much like the family he didn't have. After his release, his friends and others reached out to the White Sox organization, when they discovered that the White Sox went ahead and contacted Nevis Coleman with an official invitation to come and reapply for his old job. Been 23 years. Can he still get around? Well, they rehired him. And the team issued a statement, quote, "We're grateful that after more than two decades, justice has been carried out for Nevis. It's been a long time, but we're thrilled that we have the opportunity to welcome back to the White Sox family. We're looking forward to having Nevis back on opening day at home on our ballpark. On his first day back, he was flanked by two of his former co-workers and was warmly greeted by the head groundskeeper, Roger Bossard. And from the grass, you can see he has earned the nickname the Sod Father. Only in Chicago. For us, when we trust Christ, it's not like we're getting something back because we never had it. When we trust Christ, we get redemption, forgiveness, a new name, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and a future in heaven, and the ability to be a source of praise and honor to God. We need God's help. We need God's mercy. We need God's forgiveness. But our lives can be a testimony, once we trust Him, that Jesus Christ can be praised by the things that we do. God, help us to be thankful when a soul turns to You and trades a future in hell to a future in heaven with You forever. Help us, we pray, Father, to be thankful for our memory of trusting Christ as Savior. Help us to be confident and certain that one day we'll open our eyes and see heaven shore with You. God, help us, we pray, to be involved today to helping spread that gospel, because it's the gospel that has the power to change. Who can save a rich person and convince them of their need? The power of the gospel. What keeps me saved? The power of the gospel. What is the message that the world needs to hear most? It's the power of the gospel. Help us to take that message with us and to share it and to support its sending. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,